Man alive, it is great to worship with you today, and what a joy to be here. I want you to do something for me. And those of you that are in the loft, I want to ask you to do this as well. Everybody take out your smartphone or your smart device that you have with you, all right? You're going to see up on the screen a login that we want you to do to participate in this message. And again, those of you who are in the loft, please do it right along with us. You'll be included, of course, in this count. And we're so honored to have you as a part of our services every single week. Thank you for what you mean to us up there in the loft. But you're going to log on to this site, and there are going to be 10 statements. Matter of fact, the message has 10 points today. And there are going to be 10 statements that I want you to grade First Baptist Cleveland based on your own personal opinion, A, B, C, D, or F. You're going to have an opportunity to do this either all at once, if you want to go ahead and do it now, or if you want to wait as we go through each of these 10 points, and we're going to expand on each one of them very, very briefly. But we want to get your sense as to where we are, and then we're going to talk about this as we see how God wants us to move forward. Now, the title of the message today is The Early Church Was an Engaged Church. The early church was an engaged church. And so we want to look at this passage and then compare and see what our engagement might be today in the world around us compared to what that early church did in its infant stages and yet impacting a world incredibly. We'll look at primarily one passage that's in the second chapter of Acts. And so if you will turn to that, a passage you're extremely familiar with, and these 10 points are laid out there very simply, and we're just going to run through them. I'm going to attempt to really follow a script so that we can get through on time, because we want to hear your input as to where we are. And these 10 points are going to be things that I think each one of you, if you've come here hardly any at all, you will be able to evaluate based on your perspective. Don't evaluate based on what you wish we were or what we were at one point in time, but what you sense and see about us today. And again, you can go ahead and do that now, or you can sort of follow along as we go through the message. We'll also be looking at James chapter 1. If you just sort of want to turn to that, put your finger there. We're going to go there in just a moment. But as we go about this, let's watch what God does. While you're finding those passages, let me just make you aware, obviously, Brother Allen is not here today. He's beginning a four-week time away just for study and just prayer and just for some vacation time. He'll be back with us on August the 16th. Next Sunday, Tony Crisp, who is the pastor of East Denali Baptist Church, is going to be preaching, one that is a favorite of ours every time he comes. The following Sunday after that, David Hicks will be preaching. And then on August the 9th, we're going to have the opportunity to hear from Brother Jeff, as he'll be preaching for us for the first time since he's been on staff here about 6 or 8 weeks ago. And so just look forward to that and be praying for Brother Allen and Alice as they take some time off. So let's go to this passage in Acts chapter 2. That'll be the main passage we'll be looking at, going down through it almost phrase by phrase to see these 10 things that this church was engaged in these early days. And I love the way John MacArthur divides them up. First of all, there are three duties or disciplines that are taking place in this passage. Then there are five characteristics that are a result of those duties. And then there are two impact points as to what's happening in the world around that church as they live these things out in their life some 2,000 years ago. And so let's read this passage, then come back and break it apart. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. Your translation may be a little bit different, but it'll get the same meaning, and you'll see the words on the screen as well in the New American Standard. Verse 42, Acts chapter 2. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, let's break this apart, look at these elements, and you evaluate First Baptist Cleveland based on what you've seen, sensed, and feel about this church that we call our home. First of all, we will see in that particular passage that the very first thing they did in that verse 42 is they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, they studied God's word intently. As a matter of fact, the King James Version says they persevered in that study of God's word. Not persevered like you had to, golly, do we have another Bible study here today? Do we have to listen to another message from Jim instead of Brother Allen? We're just going to persevere that to the best way that we can. That's not what they were talking about. What they were talking about was there was an anticipation and a commitment that getting into God's word day by day was going to impact their life, and they were going to learn something new each day. Let me ask you this. As you go about your life, do your devotion, have your quiet time, however you do that, whenever you do that, whatever you do, do you look at each day as a day when you say, God, what do you want to teach me from your word today? Or is it a duty to you? Oh gosh, I've got to read this much today. I don't know if I'm going to have time to do that. Or is it, God, what do you want to show me today? What is it that you have for me today that is unique to this particular day and what I'm going to be facing in my life, which I don't know what it is, but you do, and you're going to prepare me for that. They knew the reading and studying of God's word was paramount. They also realized, remember, that these apostles were teaching things from the Old Testament. If you read many of the messages, the sermons that were preached in the book of Acts, you will see they reference a great deal of the Old Testament, but it was also the apostles' teaching on what Jesus had said, and they were communicating that orally because the New Testament had not been written at this particular time. When they were communicating this, they were just sharing what Jesus had shared with them orally, and that was the apostles' teaching at this particular time, the New Testament to be written just a few years after all of this was taking place. John 8:31 says, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. The psalmist said, oh, how I love thy law. And you might say, well, that is something that's in the Old Testament. Are we really supposed to love God's law? I want you to flip over now to that passage in James. James chapter 1, starting in verse 21, and listen to what the half-brother of Jesus had to say about God's law. And remember, he's referencing the Old Testament law. James 1, 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. It is God's word that tells us how we're to live. Not that it's a set of rules, but it is a way of living in freedom and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now flip back to the Acts passage, because we're going to go through these continually. As we look at this, you evaluate now, if you haven't already, how do you believe First Baptist Cleveland does in proclaiming the absolute truths of God's word. If you believe we do it extremely well, give an A. If not so well, B. C, if we're average, D, not too good, or F, if we don't talk about God's word at all, okay? So you take a moment to do that right now if you haven't already done that. That is discipline or duty number one. Discipline or duty number two is they fellowshipped together. Look also in verse 42 again. They had fellowship, and then to the breaking of bread. That breaking of bread is an implication about partaking in the Lord's Supper with regularity. But the fellowship has to do with just getting together in groups and, as we might say today, doing life together. There was a oneness. There was a friendship. There was a bond as if it were a band of brothers who were going through challenging, difficult, and good and wonderful times, but they were committed to that together. At First Baptist Cleveland, that doesn't happen in this particular setting. That happens in small groups, groups that we have on Sunday morning or during the week or Wednesday morning or whatever. That's where that kind of thing takes place. If you don't sense this kind of oneness and you only come to the worship services, I want to tell you, you're never going to sense that, because it's in small groups that that takes place at First Baptist Cleveland. And there are a host of small groups that you can be a part of over the course of your life as you go about doing the things that you do. But they fellowshiped with one another. The Christian life is meant to be lived in community, not in isolation. How well do you think First Baptist Cleveland is doing in that whole issue of fellowshipping together, that koinonia, that closeness that you have, not with everybody in this church, that's impossible, but with a small group of people that you worship with or do Bible study together with on a regular basis. And then look again in verse 42. The last discipline or duty is prayer. It says they continued in the breaking of bread and to prayer. They knew, and we ought to know, that prayer is the lifeline to God that gets us to a place and a position where we respond to His leadership individually and corporately and go about the business that He has for us. It is two-way communication with the Lord. Do you remember that it was said we ought to pray at all times, pray without ceasing? And the Lord Jesus Himself said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Did you know He didn't say a house of worship? We're supposed to worship. He didn't say a house of Bible study. We're supposed to do Bible study. He didn't say a house of fellowship. We're supposed to do that. But He said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer," corporately and individually. How do you think First Baptist Cleveland is doing in this prayer arena? Greatest. Take a moment to do that if you have not already, as to how you believe First Baptist is accomplishing that duty or that discipline. Now we move to five characteristics that those disciplines or duties made come alive in the lives of the members of this early church. Again, not that they were all gathered together at any one time, although they would attempt to do that, but it was as they were going about living their life together. Verse 43 says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. I looked that word up, and here's the definition. A feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear or wonder. A feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear or wonder. You know, I love children. Those boys and girls that we were baptizing, this, I mean, they were just back there talking up a storm about a whole lot of things that they were just enthused and excited for. Are we enthused and excited about God? Are we in awe of Him? Now, I fear that in a way today, and please hear the whole statement that I'm going to make, I fear that today, we have moved way over to the extreme of that Abba Father, Daddy God, and we have forgotten the reverential awe that the children of Israel had any time the word Yahweh was mentioned. They would almost go to their knees at that name because of the awe and respect that they had for God. And we've gotten away from that. Now, I'm not saying God's not our daddy. He is. But what I'm saying to you, just like the other side of grace is justice, the other side of God being that daddy God is that He is Yahweh, all-powerful, omnipotent. And we need to be mindful of that. How do you think we do in the arena of being in awe of God? And then the next thing, look at this in verse 43. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. What that means is there were things happening that you could not explain by natural causes. What's going on that you're aware of at First Baptist Cleveland that we can't explain with? We have a great guy in Alan Lockerman who week in and week out stands right here and proclaims God. We have great Sunday school teachers. We have a giving people. We have all these kinds of things. What's going on at First Baptist Cleveland that we can only say, we don't know how it happened. God must have done that. I dream for that day in the life of First Baptist Cleveland. I don't know how it happened. God just did it. That's what God desires, and that's what we need to be about. How are we doing in that arena of unexplainable things happening? The next thing is in verses 44 and 45. All those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. They gave and they shared. They realized that people had unique needs and they were willing to sell the things that they had and give those funds to the poor. Not that that is exactly the same way it's done in this day and time, although it can be, should be, and will be done that way, and you often do that. But how do you think we're doing as a general rule in the giving, in the sharing, in meeting people's practical needs, those within the church and those within our community? How do you believe First Baptist is doing? Give us a grade on that, if you would, right now. Then verse 46, and day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, gathered corporately. That's something this early church did. Now, I'm preaching to the choir in regard to this because you're here and you're here regularly, but how many people, and maybe you were in this situation at one point in your life, and every single Saturday night you posed the question to yourself or to your family, are we going to go to church tomorrow? I want to tell you, you shouldn't ask that question 52 times a year. You ought to ask that question if you want to at New Year's. Okay, I'm going to resolve again that every Sunday I'm possibly capable, I'm going to be gathered together with God's people next Sunday, because that's what God said. Oh, you say, that's the law. I'm going to tell you, the principle of the Sabbath has not been lost. And we need to remember that. But again, you're here. But how do you think people in general are doing with this issue of gathering together corporately to worship, to fellowship, to give, to hear God's word preached? How do you think we're doing in this gathering together as we go about being who we are at First Baptist Cleveland? And then verses 46, the last part, and the first part of verse 47. They were taking their meals together with gladness, some translations say joy, and sincerity of heart, praising God. That is, they were a church that had joy. Did you know that a sad or defeated Christian is an oxymoron? Those two things shouldn't go together. Now, I know sometimes they do in our lives, but they shouldn't. Just because it happens doesn't mean it's right. Sometimes we all get in that situation, but joy was demonstrated. And it seems to imply that it's because they focused on praising God. And I think that's a lesson we can learn well. When we praise God, there's going to be joy that comes to our heart because we recognize who He is and what He desires to do for us in our lives. How do you think First Baptist Cleveland is doing in this category of joy? Give us a grade, if you would, please. And so as we look at those five characteristics, we come to the impact on others, how it was affecting those outside the church. And look at what it says also in verse 47, the second part. Praising God, and the second part says, and having favor with all the people, not just the ones in church. But what this seems to indicate is that the people outside the church were looking at the church and saying, there's something different about them that I want in my life. Sort of like the Matthew 5:16 coming to life. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, because of what you're doing and what I'm doing, are people's lives being pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what this is all about. They were a people who were seen as those around them. Something is different about them, and I want whatever it is they have. They were a likable group. Do you think First Baptist Cleveland is a likable group? Grade us on that, if you would, please. And then the last thing, the tenth thing, it was a growing church. Look at what it says. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Because people saw something different, they wanted what those Christians had, they responded to Christ, and the church was growing. How do you think First Baptist Cleveland is doing in that category? The church couldn't help but tell what God was doing. That's called their story. When we put the baptism information up there, that's boys and girls or adults telling their story in one kind of way. When you write a testimony to go on a mission trip, or when you just go across the street and impact somebody and say, you know, I just did that because the Lord led me to do that. Or you have a prayer with somebody at a restaurant that you're serving and just say, hey, could I pray with you? Is there anything I can pray with you about today? You're being on mission for God and using the Lord Jesus Christ as someone in your life that's real. That's being missional. That's living out your life. You don't have to go to D.C. or Calgary or Nepal or Cambodia to be on mission for God. You can do that right here every single day. How is First Baptist Cleveland doing in this growing category? Now, obviously, there are going to be some people, just like in the New Testament, who reject the gospel. Everybody is not going to be saved. As a matter of fact, you remember what Brother Allen said either last week or 2 weeks ago? More are going to not respond than do respond. We know that because the Bible teaches that, yet we continue to proclaim. So as we live our lives, what's going on? The early church was engaged with God. They were engaged with those around them, and they were engaged with the people outside the church. How are we doing in that? Personal question. Does your calendar, your lifestyle, your checkbook record, or your online bank statement, how do those reveal your gratitude to God in the way you live every single day? Because God's looking at every one of those things. He's looking at our lifestyle. He's looking at our online bank statement. He's looking at the places we go and the things that we do. And the question is that pointing people to Him? Are we engaged in that? Do you realize that every day you're on mission for God? That's what God wants you to realize and recognize. And there are disciplines and duties that we have that are going to build characteristics in our lives. Those are going to manifest themselves in impacting people who are around us. Well, how'd we score? Let's see if we can look at some results from just what you've said and see what takes place. How do we do at studying God's Word? That looks like about, 78%. That's just from all of you who've responded, which is 229. Is that what that says up there? 229. That's about probably 25 to 30% of those present here and in the loft. All right? Let's go to the next one. How do we do in number two? Fellowshipping together, less than 50% gave us an A. Let's go to the next one. Spend time in prayer, less than 50% gave us an A. Let's go to the next one. How much are we in awe of God? A little over 50% on that one gave us an A. Where's the next one? Unexplainable things are happening. That's about 42 or 43% that see that. Okay, let's go to the next one. Share and give, over 70% gave us an A in that one. Let's go to the next one. How do we gather corporately? How well do we do that? Almost 60% gave us an A on that one. Let's go to the next one. How joyful is First Baptist? A little over 60%. That sort of makes me mad, but no, we'll go on. I'm just kidding. All right. How likable are the people of First Baptist Cleveland? A little over 50%. That means that half of you aren't liked by people, apparently. Okay. Let's go to the next one. How well are we growing? That's about 53 or 54% believe that we're growing quite well. Now, here's the deal. First Baptist Cleveland, you're not doing as well as you ought to be. I agree, we're not. But may I say to you that First Baptist Cleveland is made up of all of us. Our corporate score is a reflection of the combination of all of our individual scores. You know what I'm saying? And so as you think about your own life in these 10 categories, go back and grade yourself. Grade you. Because the composite of all of you and us is First Baptist Cleveland. And so if you want First Baptist Cleveland to improve, that's a challenge for you and me to improve as well. That's what God's calling us to be and do. An early church. That's an engaged church. Engage with God. Engage with others. Matter of fact, there's a card in your worship guide today about this event Jeff was talking about at the beginning of the service. Would you look at that card and see what God might want you to do in being engaged more at First Baptist Cleveland? If you listed low on that gathering together or corporately doing things or serving, giving, and sharing, you can be a part of what's going on. And you'll see there's a blank for other. Maybe not what's listed there is something that you want to do. Just put other. What do you sense God leading you to do? Get engaged. That comes from being engaged with God, being engaged with those here, and being engaged with those outside of the walls of this church so that they would come to know Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord of their lives. Would you bow your head and pray with me, please? Father, your word is always a challenge to us. And God, I pray that every day, as you have just shown me in preparation for this marriage, I need to be looking for something new you want to teach me. Not just getting into your word out of duty to check little circles off on an app on my phone, but to hear you speak to me. Your love letter to me and to every person in this worship center is your word. And oh God, I pray that as people respond today, either at their seat or at this altar, that they would be sensing what you desire for them to do differently, that they and we might be more close to where you desire for us to be as a church. Oh God, I pray that would happen. Move in our hearts. May we not just be hearers, but may we be effectual doers of the word and get engaged with you, those around us, and those outside this church. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tyler's going to lead us in a response time. Whatever God's telling you to do, would you do it quickly and obediently? And let's watch what the Lord does over the course of the coming days.